Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Can you imagine this scenario, that as you go about your everyday life, as you drop the kids off to school, as you grab that coffee on the way to work, as you drive by that construction site, as you stop by that fruit and veggie shop every Thursday night, that you could actually be rubbing shoulders with slaves? Now, it sounds incredible, doesn't it? An incredible thought. I mean, this is Australia. It's not India. It's not Pakistan. But the truth is, every year, an estimated 800,000 men, women and children are trafficked across the globe. And Australia is one of the countries they are being sent to. Jenny Stanger has spent the last 11 years reaching out to victims of human trafficking. And she's founded organisations, both here and in the US, to abolish slavery. She currently runs a Salvation Army safe house for victims of trafficking in Sydney. And I think she has the information that can help us, make the difference that indeed we can make. If I have got your message correct, Jenny, it's good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
We really can make a difference, can't we?
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of things that people can be doing to be on the lookout, and lots of work ahead of us to make sure that Australia, although the problem is not as large as it is in other parts of the world, but lots that we can be doing as a whole community to make Australia slavery-free.
Well, let's talk about that. Those statistics that I just gave, 800,000 men, women and children trafficked every year, something like 24 million people around the world right now that are slaves, but 800,000 trafficked from place to place around the globe. How correct would that statistic be?
Look, the statistics are... it's a difficult issue because slavery occurs, you know, in informal economies, in underground economies, black economies. So it is something that is difficult to measure. To some degree, those are guesstimates based on research around patterns of migration against patterns of illegal migration and actual cases of slavery from around the globe. So the statistics are a bit of a guesstimate, but it's certainly those numbers are quite staggering. And from our perspective, I think from most people's perspective, one person in slavery is one too many.
Yes.
It's something that should have been abolished years ago.
In Wilberforce's day.
That's right. And legally it was abolished, but yeah. It's something that we have to constantly keep our eye on, because slavery does reinvent itself every once in a while. Mm. And human trafficking is a process by which people become enslaved. And it's something that is a global problem and has been a global problem for quite some time, even here in Australia.
Well, let's talk about scenarios. Let's talk about a typical scenario of somebody who gets themselves trafficked, enslaved like this. What happens? What situation are they in? And what happens? Does a middleman come to them or what? What happens?
So, you know, your typical sort of classic case of human trafficking, it could be a man or a woman, most probably a man or a woman, who's vulnerable for some reason. Now, poverty is often cited as an underlying cause, and often people, maybe not so much poverty, but lack of opportunity in their home country. Now, that could be, you know, India, Korea, Thailand, could be places in Africa. They're vulnerable to somebody, an intermediary, a third party, who recruits them, into what they think is going to be a promising, legitimate, and fruitful job in another country. So they're attracted by an opportunity elsewhere. And that third party promises to make all those arrangements and deliver them to what should be a legitimate and good work arrangement for that person. And that person is generally motivated by the same thing that motivates all of us, you know, to go and make a better life for their family. Mm. So folks generally get tricked and deceived and are then taken across a border. It doesn't always have to be across a border, but in most transnational trafficking cases, being taken across an international border where they are then delivered into a situation that was not what they were promised. It's a bait and switch.
Is that significant in the fact that they're sent to another country? I guess they're taken away from their contacts?
Yes, because that often, you know, isolates the person from any resources that they might have to get out of the situation. So what is the situation on the other side? The situation on the other side is, upon arrival, generally identity documents are confiscated and physical, psychological violence or threats of violence are used to coerce that person into making some kind of profit or gain or advantage for somebody else. So that person on the other side, after arrival, experiences a loss of free will, and they're not able to offer their labor or services voluntarily. So that's a really key point to think about. They cannot offer their labor or services freely. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who smuggles themselves across a border to work. Mm. You know, they're not authorized to work. Okay, that person has actually broken the law and would be considered a criminal against a state. Mm. The victim of trafficking is someone who's been delivered into a situation of exploitation where violence is being used to keep them in that situation. Yes. And one of the main tools that's very, very common globally and in Australia that traffickers and slaveholders use is debt bondage. So the victim, upon arrival, or sometimes even before, has entered into or is told that they owe a debt for the cost of their transportation, migration, and the costs of employing them. Now, debt bondage is an old tool of slavery, and it's something that's designed so that you can never actually pay off the debt. Mm. So you get, you know, usurious accounting for the debt, lack of clarity about wages and how they're paid and who they're paid to, how the debt is calculated, if it's decreased, increased, because whenever you're in debt, often the employers find a way to actually increase the debt. So it's a cycle, and it's debt bondage is actually designed so you can never get out
and
of it.
And you stay enslaved. Okay. So how many people could well be brought to Australia each year, or could be in Australia right now, who actually are indeed slaves?
Well, I think it's thousands. It's been a difficult statistic to research and obviously understand.
How do you get a survey participant to tick, yes, I'm a slave?
That's the issue. If we knew where we were, we could go and help them. Yeah. But we're hoping to see some research coming out of the Australian Institute of Criminology and from Melbourne University in the next couple of years. So hopefully we'll have a better idea of the full scope. But I think, you know, it's clear that it's a significant problem. The government hasn't really been that willing to acknowledge that there's more than 100 victims of trafficking in the country at any given time. But if you look at the amount of labor exploitation that is occurring on a daily basis around the whole country, it would be a bit naive to think that there isn't a much more significant problem than the government has previously been willing to acknowledge.
How do you read that? What does that mean?
How do I read the...
labor exploitation.
I think it's a big issue. It's a complex issue for governments to deal with. And I'm hoping that once we get a better idea of the scope of the problem, that we'll be really willing to engage with the complexity of the response that's needed, because it does bring up issues around migration policy, trade policy, economic policy, workers' rights. Those are big issues. And the slavery problem, the problem of slavery, is connected to those things. Those are some of the areas where a strong policy response would need to be strategies put into place in those different areas. Right. And it's a big issue to deal with. So I think, you know, there's clearly a reason to sort of deny the scope of the problem.
Okay. So there could be thousands of slaves in Australia right now. And of course, the first thing you think of when you think of human trafficking is you think of girls from Thailand brought into some sort of brothel in terms of prostitution. So it certainly is, they're going into brothels, they're being, I guess, enslaved in prostitution.
Sure.
But it's not just that industry, is it?
No, and that industry has received a lot of press, and you know, in many ways I think it's actually represents the lowest number of trafficked people in the country. If you look at the number of women that are brought in, you know, by sponsors through marriage, there are currently about 14,000 permanent residency applications pending before the Department of Immigration under the domestic violence provisions. So those would be for migrant women that were sponsored here by their spouses, who have wound up in quite abusive relationships, and they are seeking protection from the government and residency from the government. In my experience, many of those situations do include the same elements that would occur in any other type of slave case. So you've got the same elements of coercion. You often do have debt bondage occurring in marriage as well.
So a guy would actually bring over a wife to Australia, but actually incur some sort of debt on her.
Possibly, and on her family. And be exploiting her for some kind of profit, gain, or advantage. Mm. Now, that could be taking care of elderly parents, taking care of children or other members of the family, or actually putting her to work somewhere and under threat of violence, and he keeps all the money or actually using violence. And there's often quite a bit of, you know, sexual abuse that would go on with that scenario as well.
You were saying before that it's not just females, but it's males as well that are trafficked.
That's right. There have been cases, you know, I think Australians, if they can think of some of the past headlines that maybe have been presented more as labor exploitation cases. But even going back into the late 1990s, there was a case in Sydney of 8 stonemasons brought from India to work on a temple. And they were actually physically incarcerated and not getting paid for the work that they were doing for upwards of 6 to 8 months. There have been cases in the construction industry. There have been cases in the printing industry. There's been even some cases in the maritime industry, cases in restaurants, hospitality, nursing, agriculture. So there's lots of different ways and different sites and industries that people can become enslaved. And it's really important that we keep our minds open.
Yes, absolutely. Jenny Stanger is with us, 11 years experience working with victims of human trafficking. And it turns out that Australia is a destination country. And big cities like Sydney and Melbourne are very popular cities as well. But it's not just that. They can be going, as you said, it's agriculture. It could actually be in rural. We've got 350 regional locations taking open house. It could actually be in one of those towns.
That's right. And for those of us that are working on this issue in the big cities, it's really important that we spend the next few years getting our message out to people in regional and rural Australia, because there's no place where slavery can't happen in this country. So it's really important that we spend the time getting the message out, organizing communities, and making sure that people are aware of what slavery looks like and what to do if they think they found someone who needs help.
Thank you for the segue. Now, what does slavery look like? How could we detect these people? And tell me what professions we might be in that might be, I guess, we might be best positioned to see this. But what are the features of somebody who might actually be enslaved?
Well, when you talk about the professions, I mean, I think people working in community, doing community-based work are the best positioned to identify folks. But really, anyone is in a position to identify someone who's been in slavery. I've had cases in America that were returned. I had a 13-year-old girl refer a case to us. I've had the media refer a case. I've had lawyers, private lawyers, refer cases. So referrals can come from a lot of different places, including government agencies as well.
All of us can play a role here.
Police really need to be educated on the issue. And what we're looking for, again, is somebody who cannot leave their place of work for some reason. Now, everyone should be employed at will. And if someone for some reason feels that they're unable to leave their situation, we need to understand that, because that might be a case where someone is being coerced through violence.
So it might be a colleague that we just never see go home? Do you mean?
Well, I'll give you an example of a case that occurred a few years ago in the Blue Mountains. There was a young man from India who was a chef that was enslaved in 4 different restaurants in the Blue Mountains. Now, he was from India and was culturally isolated and unable to speak to his co-workers. Now, his co-workers were Anglo-Australians. So you can have businesses and situations where you have people in slavery working right alongside people who are not in slavery. His co-workers were the ones who observed his deteriorating health, observed that he his condition in general was deteriorating. He didn't seem to have time off. He lived with the employer, and he was definitely being treated differently from everybody else. And it was his co-workers who actually called federal police and alerted them to what was happening, and federal police were actually able to prosecute his employer for trafficking.
Okay, deteriorating health and, I guess, in general appearance, and then never having time off.
Just ask some questions, take an interest in people. Now, we don't want to be hysterical,
yes,
right? We don't want to just assume that
alert,
everyone from...
not alarmed.
Yes, we don't want to assume that everyone from another country, you know, is in slavery, but yes, there's no harm in making sure that people understand what their workers' rights are. And I think that's one of the things that we really need to be looking at as well. Now, you know, what can we do, you know, to help somebody who's experienced slavery, but we also actually want to stop it right from the beginning. So, you know, take an interest in people. See if they need help. A lot of times people will say, you know, there were times when I came into contact with others who might have helped me, but nobody ever asked me any questions. Nobody asked me if I needed help. And people who are in a slavery situation have often been fed lies about what might happen if they were to come into contact, say, with the authorities. Mm. The authorities will rape you, murder you, beat you. And that may be true in their home country. So their frame of reference, you know, might not, might be from their home country. And also the fear of the unknown, sometimes the fear of the unknown of what happens if I try to leave my slave situation is one of the very strongest.
Keeps them in.
Yeah, it keeps them in.
That would make sense
too. It's a barrier to leaving. So
what do we do when we detect somebody and we think, okay, I think we've seen somebody? I mean, is it a triple O call or is it actually a call to somebody like yourself?
If you have information that where you have clear information that somebody's in a life-threatening situation, you can certainly call triple O, but it would be also good to contact the Australian Federal Police because they actually have a specialized team that investigates cases of trafficking and slavery. So both. You can also contact community organizations that I believe are linked on your website.
Yep. We'll throw those up later on tonight.
If you want some help on and just want to kind of share some information with us and we can help to assess what the situation is. And there are a few groups that are doing this work and we may even be able to come to where you are, wherever you are in the country.
Now, Jenny, you're actually running training for this very issue, aren't you?
Right.
Training people to become, I guess, sensitized to look out for the things. What's your vision? What would you like to see, you know, your big scale dream of what you'd like to see in terms of Australia and this whole problem?
You know, coming from America, it's the same problem, different country. But Australia really represents a unique situation. I think this is really a place where we could end slavery. We're geographically isolated. It's not so easy to get here. If someone's on the way who's not supposed to be, we generally find them. We've got the political commitment to end slavery already. So we do have good laws on the books. That's not our total solution, though. We need to have a community response. And we've got the socioeconomic position and wealth to make it happen. And Australia has very strong local communities. So I think there's a lot of strengths here where we could if we were very organized and we could implement effective strategies that have already been deployed in other places, you know, we can just adapt it for this context. I think we could actually end slavery here.
Yes.
But it's going to take a lot of community organizing and engagement and partnership between the government and the community to effectively address the problem.
Okay,
but it's exciting.
You're flying the flag and you're leading people across the nation. That's great. Well, thanks for your time, Jenny.
Thank you.
I think it's really important to explore this. Jenny Stanger there directs the Salvation Army's Safe House for Victims of Human Trafficking in Sydney, but is running training all over the place on how to identify people who might be in just this situation. They've actually been trafficked here, and they are indeed slaves. Later on tonight, we're going to put up some links, the AFP website, etc., but also details for Jenny too if you want to make contact.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.